Good morning. It's Thursday, November 15th, and you are listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack, and across from me is Jim, your usual Thursday morning co-hosts here on KRFY 88.5. We have in studio three representatives, a coach and two players from the Sandpoint High School women's basketball team. Or is it girls' basketball team? I don't know. We'll clarify that later.
They're basketball players.
Yes.
I do want to say that even though it's the 15th, it is not the Ides of November.
We always get, okay, it would be the 13th this month then?
13th this month. The Ides is only 4 months during the year, you know, like the Ides of March, of course. Shakespeare couldn't have gotten that wrong. And this is the Ides was on Tuesday, the 13th. It had to do with the lunar calendar and the Romans and stuff like that. You know, who knows?
Okay, so it's not the Ides of November. It is the last Thursday before Thanksgiving.
And we won't be with you next Thanksgiving because we'll be doing turkey and all sorts of good things like that. But we'll be back with you on the 29th. Hard to believe that Thanksgiving is already here.
I know. I do have in front of me the forecast from the National Weather Service. Also, stay tuned at 9 o'clock. We're going to be continuing into another hour of programming, talking to
Becky Revac with the Panada Playhouse Players, the representatives from the Unknown Locals. They have to work. Hello, what's going on there? But anyway, we're going to talk about the two one-act plays at the Panada Theater tonight and the next couple of nights and days.
First, let me tell you about the weather.
Please do.
Here we go. We have this morning rain and snow, likely, and then areas of fog. High of 42 degrees. I didn't see any this morning as I was strolling down to the station. Any precipitation anyway coming down, but there is a slight chance of snow showers before 9 a.m., then rain showers likely today. Areas of fog before 1 p.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 42, and I already said there's a 60% chance of precipitation, little or no snow accumulation expected. Showers are likely tonight, mainly before 10 p.m., cloudy with a low around 33 degrees, southwest wind of 3 to 6 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 20% chance of showers before 10 in the morning, that is. Partly sunny with a high near 42 the rest of the day. Mostly clear tomorrow night, getting down into about 23 degrees on Friday night.
Yeah. Nippy.
Then, sunny weekend, it looks like. High of 38, so sunny, clear, and kind of chilly. 38 degrees is the high, but both days, sunny or mostly sunny on Saturday and Sunday. And, getting into kind of a cold-looking Thanksgiving week, but at least the sun will be out, according to this National Weather Service provided forecast.
And I still have some leaves to rake.
No.
So, yes, I do. Yeah, I mean, it'd be wonderful if they all fell at the same time.
I know.
But they don't. You know, it seems like they come in waves. And but we're sort of excited this morning because when it's this time of year, that means women's and girls' basketball they're in the air. And we're fortunate that this morning to have with us Coach Will Love. He is the coach of the girls' basketball team at Sandpoint High School. Good morning.
Good morning.
Coach Love.
Hey, thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it.
And we have two of your outstanding players. One is incapacitated, but we'll be back on. We have Dawson Driggs and Maddie Morgan. Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for having us on. It's really fun. Yeah,
thank you for having us.
Well, it's great to have both of you on. Are we pulling you away from classes?
Yes, but it's okay.
Exactly. Well, we'll start with Coach Love. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how many years you've been coaching, and your background, and some of the challenges, because I know that the girls' basketball team lost a whole bunch of players to graduation.
Right, right. Yeah, so, you know, my path here is probably not the traditional one. I actually started as a journalist, so I covered games. And then the opportunity came about 9 years ago to start teaching at Sandpoint High School. I teach journalism there, and I've been doing it for 9 years. Advisor of the Cedar Post, proud student-run newspaper. But it was after my first year that the boys coach at the time, actually it was his wife, approached me and said, "Hey, you need to coach for Tyler Haynes next year." And so I ended up doing that, and I coached JV boys for 3 years, and then was a varsity assistant for Coach Haynes for a year. And then I was going to take a little bit of a break, but Coach Dwayne Ward, longtime coach here in Sandpoint, great, great basketball guy, just great, great person in general. He called me up and said, "Hey, I want you to, I'm the new girls coach. I want you to help out." And I said, "I don't know about that, coach." And then 2 weeks later, he called me and said, "Hey, I really want you to help out." And I said, "I don't know about that, coach." And so it was about, he kept after me for about 3 or 4 months. And then finally, his persistence paid off. And I said, "Yeah, I'll go ahead and help you out." And so the last 4 years, I've been the varsity assistant for the program. And then Coach Ward retired, and I was moved up to the varsity head coach. And so I turned the tables on Coach Ward and said, "Hey, coach, I need an assistant. I want to have you come and help me out." And so so now we've just reversed roles, and it's been a lot of fun. We've been practicing for 3 weeks now, and we're getting ready for our first game on Saturday, and the girls are doing a great, great job. So
cool. Yeah. Well, I do know that you had a major turnover to lose 7 players. Now, Dawson, tell us about the cast on your arm first.
Well, we had a jamboree last Tuesday, and we were playing Genesis Prep and Priest River, and we'd played Genesis Prep and unfortunately lost, but we were getting on our second game to Priest River, and it was about the first half-ish towards the end, mm-hmm. and our team, we just weren't getting anything really. We weren't getting a play together. We were just kind of looked lost on the court, so I was like, "Well, maybe I'll just go try to draw a foul, maybe get some free throws, get us going a little bit," and so I went for a drive, and I unfortunately fell, and I reached back with my left wrist to kind of grasp my fall. And then usually I fall a lot kind of, but usually I can just bounce back up, get ready to shoot my free throws. But this time, I just felt my wrist, it just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm, and so I thought maybe I could just shake it off, just take a few seconds, regroup myself. But when the ref passed me the ball to shoot my free throw, I just couldn't pick it up.
Ooh.
But fortunately, I did make those 2 free throws before I came out.
Okay.
But it's my left hand, so that kind of helps. But I actually came back in the game after I hurt my wrist because I thought I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up making another basket, but I went to pass the ball and my wrist just gave out. It wouldn't work at all. So after the game, I was icing, doing everything I could. I missed school the next day to go to the doctors, and they said that it wasn't broken, which I was wow, good. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But then they referred me to another doctor where I got some more x-rays, and they said that there was a break in the bone, but it didn't displace my wrist, which is awesome, so I didn't have to get surgery, but I am going to be out for about 3 weeks. But after that, I'm hoping to get stronger from this and come back better than I have been.
So in other words, right now it's just holding it in place?
Yeah, it's basically just making it so I can't move so that it'll heal.
It'll heal itself.
Yeah.
Well, that is wonderful. So in about another 3 weeks or thereabouts, not only you'll be back on the court, but opening Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
You got to have you got to have that flexible wrist for opening.
And you made both the free throws with the broken wrist.
Yes.
Boy, I mean, there should be a plaque up on the school wall about that.
Do you practice one-handed?
It helps you get your form down if you practice one-handed.
Yeah.
It helps a lot, but you don't really need your left hand, I guess, to shoot, so it's just kind of a guide, but,
Well, unless you're left-handed.
Yeah, unless you're left-handed. Mm-hmm.
And Maddie Morgan, you are on the team as well. What position do you play, Maddie?
I'm a guard. I'm a shooting guard because I'm short. So, yeah.
So explain to that's a good point you bring in. What's a shooting guard as opposed to a point guard? What's the difference?
A point guard usually dribbles the ball down the court and it directs the plays, I guess. And then a shooting guard doesn't dribble as much, I guess. And they're looking more to shoot and score for the team.
So what do you do when the point guard is coming down the court? What is your responsibility on offense?
I'm usually getting to my spots where I can hit shots down pretty well. Usually I go down towards like the baseline or the wing because those are my good shots.
Okay, and it's the point guard's responsibility if whatever the flow of the defense is to get the ball to you if there's an opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. And we don't really have a specific point guard. Dawson usually is, but all of us are guards on the team, which is nice. So anyone can really dribble it down the court. So,
yeah, but Maddie's a gifted shooter, and she's worked really, really hard. She started the game and playing the game in junior high and is really focused on her shot. And, you know, last year, she's a three-point shooter, and that's what we love about her is – I think last year she took over 153 pointers for us. So she shoots the ball a lot, and usually a lot of times it goes in. So
let me just ask you this, Maddie. How many do you shoot per day? I mean, in terms of practice of three-point shots, because that's a chunk of distance.
Yeah, I usually like to shoot before practice. I try to get at least like 50 up before, and then after is usually when I get a lot of shots up after practice. Hattie and I, one of the players on our team, we usually stay afterwards and try to get at least another 50 up. And then sometimes, like after school or during lunch, I'll go into the lunchroom and shoot some shots, just whenever possible, really. It's nice.
And in the meantime, do you practice free throws, Dawson?
Yeah, I like to practice whatever kind of shots I can. I've been pretty good at driving, but my shot has been kind of just not there the last few years, which I've just been kind of scared to shoot because I don't want to, like, give my team a missed shot, kind of. But mm-hmm. I've learned that you need to, like, learn from your missed shots. So if you don't take them, then you can never learn or you never know if you'll make it.
Or have a short memory.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another good thing. When you say something like that, I think of, I'm a big fan of University of Notre Dame's women basketball team, and the person who shot those two incredible shots last spring, Arike Ogunbowale, she only remembers the shot she's taking. You know, in other words, you know, she might go like 2 for 15, then all of a sudden, you know, have a jag and do really well. Now, are you two the tallest players on the team, or?
Ooh, Maddie, I would say, is the shortest. but I'd say I'm average. Hattie, she's a sophomore. She's pretty tall. And Natalie, our post, she's really tall, too. And we have a senior, Lily, and she's one of our other posts. But I'd say that I'm average. We don't have a really tall team. We're just kind of, we're not short. Mm-hmm. We're not tall. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of in the middle.
And what's the grade levels? You lost 7 seniors last year. That's a chunk.
Yeah.
So how many seniors now?
We have 2 seniors. We don't have any freshmen on our team. I think we have 2 sophomores, and the rest are juniors.
Okay, so in other words, it's a really young team. Isn't that true, yeah. Coach Love?
Yeah, yeah. You know, last year we had, as you brought up, we had a group of 7 seniors. All those seniors had gone to state four times, or, you know, a lot of those seniors had gone to state 4 times in a row. And so it was a really, really experienced team. This year, with only 2 seniors, you know, we're going to be very, very young. As the girls pointed out, we're also not the tallest team. But I think, you know, as far as athleticism with this group, we've got quite a few wings, quite a few guards, and we've been practicing with that in mind. So we're really, really excited. But when we talk about those seniors, I think 5 of the 7 seniors are participating in a college sport right now. Two of them are playing college basketball at Eastern Washington University. And, you know, the other two girls, they had opportunities to play collegiate sports. They just decided not to do it. So athletically, it was a really, really gifted class. They weren't, besides the two that are playing at Eastern Washington, they weren't necessarily basketball players, but they were just really, really good athletes. And so, I think this group can get there, you know, but right now we're not seniors. We're pretty much sophomores and juniors. So they just need to get that experience. But one of the it wasn't a nice thing, but one of the things that happened last year is we had several of our seniors, they were out with injury to start the year. And so players like Maddie and Dawson got a lot of playing time at the varsity level. So it's not like they're inexperienced. You know, they've actually gone out and they've played quite a few minutes. They played in the state tournament last year. But what we have to figure out with this group is where are our stats going to come from? You know, who are the leaders going to be? What it's going to look like on a regular basis? And so that's kind of the fun part. And I think it's probably fun for them too, because, you know, we don't have, they're determining things. They're not looking at somebody else and saying, well, maybe next year will be my year or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So. When did you guys start playing basketball?
Me personally, I started playing in third grade. My dad's really big into basketball and he encouraged me to do Upward, the league through the church. And so I did that all the way through sixth grade and I really liked it. So I did it in middle school. So continued it all throughout high school.
That was Dawson.
Yeah.
See, that's one thing, when you're listening at home, you go, oh, was that Maddie or was that Dawson? So now this is Maddie.
I used to live in Nebraska before this, so I went to a small school, and in sixth grade, I decided to try to play, and the school was pretty bad, so I wouldn't really consider it real basketball. But then once we moved to Sandpoint, I started getting into it, like, full-time, I guess, or, you know, actual real basketball, I guess. And then since seventh grade and on, I've been playing. So, yeah.
Okay.
Where in Nebraska?
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, I lived there for 8 years.
My brother lives there now.
Oh, nice.
Small world.
Yeah. Well, it's a small world.
Yeah.
So what is that pretty common? You usually, do you get a lot of anybody coming in like ninth grade saying, I've never played basketball before, but I want to try out?
Occasionally, we'll get that. Basketball is, you know, Coach Ward would always say it's a simple game, but you have to work really, really hard at it. And you know, there's a lot of things that that as younger kids, if they're around basketball, you can tell that difference. You know, just stuff like shooting form and dribbling and stuff like that. So it's not impossible for a girl or a boy to start playing as a freshman and be good at it, because just, you know, I think some people are just geniuses athletically and they can pick things up. But you know what we're starting to see, what's starting to develop in Sandpoint is a youth program. And so Dawson's dad, he has been coaching youth teams for several years now. So like Dawson's sisters are on those teams. And just recently, it was kind of piecemealed together as far as the different teams and stuff like that. It would just be kind of a parent that would be like, okay, I'm going to take this group of kids and coach them. Well, what they've done is they've come together and they've started a organization called Sandpoint Future. And so for both on the boys and the girls side, from grades 3 through 8, they have teams now, a little bit different than Upward Bound, that, you know, that's kind of go down to the church and, mm-hmm. and play a little bit, and they do an awesome job. The Sandpoint Future is more of kind of a, I guess, the AAU type. In fact, they are an AAU program. And so what they do is on most Saturdays, they go to Post Falls. And so they're playing in games there. And then they sign up for some other tournaments. So one of the nice things, you know, that's been really, really cool to see over the last 5 years that I've been part of the program is just how basketball has kind of caught on in Sandpoint. And And so
you mean women's basketball or girls basketball?
I'd say girls and also boys.
Boys,
you know,
okay.
The boys team has not been as successful, but we're kind of seeing that develop. And you know, to be you know, my theory on this is that so many people are fans of Gonzaga men's basketball mm-hmm. that you know it's whereas basketball hasn't been a priority in Sandpoint. Now, you know, all these kids are familiar with Gonzaga. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's been a lot easier to get kids into the gym. And so, so both, you know, the boys and the girls program, but I would say the success that the girls have had, the last 5 years, you know, these two, they would come to our games in junior high when they were in junior high and they'd watch Maddie Schoening and Grace Kircher. And, you know, they want to be the next, Maddie Schoening, Grace Kircher. Yep. And so mm-hmm. now we went to last week, we went and watched Maddie Schoening. She plays at the University of Montana. We went and watched her team play against Gonzaga, the Gonzaga women. Well, there was 90 people there from Sandpoint that were part of this Sandpoint Future program. So it was, you know, 40, 50 girls, their parents, they were all there to watch it. We had the two big sections in the kennel there. And then the awesome thing is afterwards, they all kind of met up down next to the floor and Maddie came out and, you know, they were all cheering Maddie, and you know, her teammates are like, what is going on here? You know, but she came over and she had signed posters of the Montana women's team for the girls and also signed a bunch of autographs and stuff like that. So it's really, really been cool to see how this is kind of developing. And mm-hmm. it seems like it's kind of developing organically just based off these you know, successful girls that we've had in the past.
And the success will breed more success. I mean, you mentioned Gonzaga mm-hmm. Men. The women have done well in terms of going to the NCAA tournament. In fact, I think they're going up to Vancouver the week after Thanksgiving to play Notre Dame.
Yeah, they are.
But one thing I do want to say is that I can remember, I'm probably the oldest person in the studio. I can remember when I was in Nebraska, in Lincoln, that on the high school level, women's basketball, girls basketball in Iowa was major. And they would play 3-on-3, 3 on offense, 3 on defense, and you couldn't cross the center line so that the 3 defenders would defend against 3 offensive players from the other team. And then if they got a rebound, they would dribble or pass it over, and then there are 3 offensive players. So it's really come a long way in my short life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big, major fan, much more so than men's, because, you know, with men, it's played, a lot of it is played above the rim and a lot of one-on-one, wherever I find women's basketball, precise passing, pick and roll, shooting skills, I think it's much more fun to watch. That's how is it to play? I'm looking at Maddie and Dawson, and it's one of those paint them in the corner questions.
Yeah.
What is it like to play?
Well, just let me add to that, and why they kind of think about it is that, you know, I coach boys for mm-hmm. 4 years, and then, you know, I'm a little hesitant to move over to the girls game, but once I got there, it was. It just suited me, and it was about the things that you talked about. Was that, you know, a lot of times we're working on skill stuff, and you know, and just working on shooting, and you know, not all, you know, there's plenty of boys that will work on that, but you know, a lot of times they want to, yeah, it's like let's try to dunk for the first 10 minutes of practice and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So you know, I think you're right there. I think there's also, you know. You talked about the 3-on-3, and my aunt, she played that way. But just the progression of the game, and I think you know, if people came down and watched these girls play, they'd be surprised about how physical the game is.
You bet.
And you know how competitive the game is. It's just, you know, as you said, the game has really, really evolved on the women's side. especially kind of in the last 10 years, 10, 20 years.
Well, what I like about it is that when I was in high school, about the only sport that girls could play would be volleyball. Mm-hmm. But now you have cross country, you have soccer, you have tennis, you have so many, and now you have basketball, which I think, and softball, which I think is absolutely terrific. Mm-hmm. But I have to giggle a little bit. You know, when I go and see a women's basketball game, I go, wow, there are some really tall women out there. Mm-hmm. But then I go see a volleyball game. And wow, there are taller women, who play volleyball. But we're here in the studio with Coach Will Love. He's the coach of the girls' basketball team, and with Dawson Driggs and Maddie Morgan, two players. And we're going to take a music break, and then we're going to come back on the air. I've queued up a song by Elvis Presley because it was on this date, November 15, 1956. I think I'm the only one in the studio who remembers that. And I do remember it. His movie, Love Me Tender, premiered. And, you know, everybody was just swooning over Elvis Presley and whatever. And here's the title cut from the movie. The movie, but the song was a mega seller. Here's Elvis Presley on this date, November 15, 1956. The title song from the movie, Love Me Tender. Then we'll come back and do more talk. Good job. Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. The schedule. Where can people? Wasn't that wonderful? Elvis Presley singing "Love Me Tender." It was on this date in 1956, November 15th, that movie premiered. And
you saw the movie in theater?
Yes, I did. I saw it at the Colfax Theater in South Bend, Indiana.
And your thoughts at the time?
I was a big Elvis fan. Yeah. I did not like Pat Boone. He, with his collegiate look and too squeaky clean. Mm-hmm. Elvis Presley, I felt lived on the edge.
Yeah. So did you think he was a decent actor in the movie?
Who went to see him to act?
Yeah.
You went to see him to sing and to carry on the legacy of his music and whatever. Great fun.
We're here in the studio. I'm Jack, that's Jim, and we're here in the studio with Maddie Morgan, Dawson Driggs, Peter Parker, and Will Love. No, just kidding. They do sound like, you guys do sound kind of like comic book characters, though.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I was thinking about that when both of you guys were saying that.
Yeah. we're talking about, I never got the answer. Is it girls basketball or women's basketball?
Well, with my journalism background, we would say high school basketball is girls basketball. And then it's when they get to the collegiate level that it becomes women's basketball.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're here and let's talk about the actual season, so the Jamboree was last week and that's not an That's an unofficial or exhibition kind of thing.
Yeah, it was just a get together of two teams to play a half against each other, and so just to kind of see where we're at and stuff, and we noticed some things that we need to work on. So we start the season in earnest on Saturday against Post Falls. They're the defending 5A state champions, so pretty good team. But we're excited to play them because we want to see where we're at.
Are they an arch rival? I mean, if you had to pick one school that you just had to beat no matter what, and that if you didn't, is there one? Dawson, is there one school that you just gotta beat?
Well, I would say there's two. Okay. I would say Moscow and Lakeland because they're in our league, and we want to beat them every year to go to state, which we have for the past 5 years. And it's just when we get to that league play time, it's just we have our mindset like we got to beat these teams because state is just such a good experience and it teaches you so much and it's so fun to play against other schools in the state.
So Post Falls isn't in your league?
No, they're a 5A team and we're 4A.
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing because we're in the Inland Empire League and they're in the Inland Empire League,
but
it's two separate classifications. Okay. So basically we play all the teams in the IEL, but like our game against Post Falls, our game against Lake City, our game against Coeur d'Alene, mm-hmm. They don't count towards if we're going to get to state or not.
Okay, now, and the designation like 5A or 4A, is that school size?
Yes, yep. Yeah. So 5A is the largest in the state. And then 4A's, you know, and it goes on down to, they actually, you know, have two 1A classifications. They kind of, they split those up. So I think, let's see here, six classifications in the state of Idaho.
Okay. And the game is this Saturday?
Saturday. The JV2 team. So that is made up primarily of freshmen. They start at noon, and then our JV team will play at 1:30. And then the varsity game should tip off at 3 o'clock.
And that's at Post Falls High School?
No, actually, it's at Les Rogers Court here at Sandpoint High School.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's up here.
Yep. So
great. And where can one get tickets in advance, or is it tickets at the door?
Tickets at the door, yeah. We turn out a pretty good crowd, but it's not, you don't have to get tickets in advance. Unless we do have, it's a kind of a rivalry game with mm-hmm. Lakeland. It's called Battle for the Paddle. And so, Battle for the Paddle. So there's this paddle that the
goes back and forth to whoever wins it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a fun night. They actually play girls basketball, followed by wrestling, followed by boys basketball. So it's six hours. There's competitions between the dance teams, the cheerleaders. It's just a...
Great evening.
Yeah, just a crazy, crazy night. And, you know, usually... the gyms will be sold out for that, and you have to get your tickets in advance. But on Saturday, on Tuesday, when we play Lake City at 7 o'clock, you can come down and purchase a ticket. $3 for youth, $5 for adults, and we've got an awesome policy that I think if you're 60, you get in free.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Now we're talking my language.
Yeah, free.
Jim heard that. Is it usually a Tuesdays and Saturdays, or what's the
varies? It varies. So, you know, we play a long season. And so our season, you know, we started October 29th, and then potentially we'll play through February. You know, one of the hard things for basketball players is they have to play through these holidays, you know.
That's right.
And so, you know, they get maybe 2 days off for Thanksgiving if we're lucky. They get 3 or 4 days off for Christmas because we've got games scheduled in there. But because of all those holidays that are in there, you know, the season's kind of spread out. So, a lot of our games are on Tuesday nights, and then either Friday or Saturday afternoons we play a lot of games mm-hmm. too.
Personal anecdote: mm-hmm. I was on the swim team in high school, and that shares a schedule with it. Uh-huh. And excuse me, I hated it. I did not like that, and especially because there usually wasn't a meet during the winter break. Mm-hmm. So, and there also was in school, our coaches would, they did not go easy. That was the hardest practice schedule of the year.
Definitely.
Don't get any ideas, coach.
Yeah.
Well, we got Thanksgiving next week, and
boys don't need to be ready for anything. You know, we'll do 3 hours in the pool just as long as nobody drowns.
Well, we want our kids to enjoy Thanksgiving and to eat a lot, but we have to make sure that we coaches would probably call it recovery from all that eating, but players probably call it something else.
I'd like to ask Maddie and Doss, and I'm sure that you have many tools in your toolbox on the basketball court, but if I had to say, Maddie, one thing that when people walk out of the basketball arena, they go, boy, that Maddie, she finished that for me.
Can shoot.
Okay, now let me ask you this. When you're facing the basket, what's your best side, to the left or to the right? Where do you feel the most comfortable?
I think towards the left. I remember last game against Priest River and Genesis Prep at our Jamboree, I think I had 4 of my three-pointers on the left wing, so definitely the left side.
4 three-pointers? That is excellent. Way to go. Dawson, as people are exiting the arena, what are they saying? Boy, that Dawson, she...
I definitely feel like I can get in the driving lanes, but I also like to look for my teammates, so I feel like they would think that I have a good eye for where everyone is or trying to make everyone feel included. But I definitely think that I can drive really good and either go all the way or take a little pull up for a shot.
Well, what somebody who might not know basketball, which I think is important about what you're saying, is that when you make a motion to drive, I could be mistaken, other defenders will collapse on you. And then if Maddie has sort of relocated out on the three-point line, maybe her person has collapsed. That what I'm thinking of is the ex-Gonzaga coach right now. He's at Oregon. Has an incredible player, Sabrina Ionescu, who does triple doubles all the time, and she's an incredible driver. And she makes a motion towards the basket. You've got like three people collapsing, and there stands Aaron Boley. You know, just bing. You know, just like Maddie. Yeah. So in other words, you rack up the assists.
Yeah, I definitely think that when I drive through the lane, everyone's trying to stop the ball, which makes it easy for me to kick it out for people who are open for us to get an almost wide open shot, which helps us a lot. And Maddie's really good when she's like, she'll make it probably almost all the time if she's just wide open.
That's wonderful. So, boy, that Dawson Driggs, she can rack up the assists, which is a wonderful stat to have. Absolutely. You know, you need the person who shoots the ball, but you need the person who sets him up. Wonderful. How many games do you play in a season?
This year we'll have 20 regular season games, and then we have a district tournament that can be anywhere from three to four games. And then if we get to state, we can play up to three games. So by the end of the season, it might be about 27 games.
That's quite a few.
Yep.
Now, where can one go to find a schedule in terms of for, you know, to block out when the games are coming up?
Right. So the best way to do that right now is to go to the school's website. I think it's sh.lposd.org. And then you can get to athletics, and that'll get you to a program called, or a website called Schedule Star. And then that's where you can see all the activities that are happening at Sandpoint High School for the day, for 4 days, for a week, and then for a month. And then also you can go in and grab a schedule as well, the entire schedule. So not the easiest way to get it, but if you go to the high school website, then you can access that. So.
Excellent. I know that girls basketball team also gives back to the community. And would you like to talk about that? What were you doing yesterday? I'll ask Maddie and Dawson. What were you guys doing yesterday?
Well, yesterday we had early release from school. And so right after school, our whole team met in the locker room. And we kind of like made sure everyone had a ride and everything. And then we all drove over to our local food bank. And we basically just volunteered, helped out with whatever they needed for about an hour before we had to go get our pictures taken. And I just think it's a great way to give back to our community and show that we care for all of our local organizations. And it really helps out Coach Love's wife, Debbie, who is an amazing person.
Debbie.
She's so kind, and she does a great job at the food bank. And I think it's just a great way to show our community that we care.
Maddie, did you learn anything yesterday about when you went out to the Bonner Community Food Bank?
Yeah, definitely giving back to the community and how much support we need to give to them. I did cleaning, so I cleaned the shelves and stuff, and it was fun helping out.
It's like a little grocery store, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just think it's neat as can be. And we do want to remind folks that in 1 week is Thanksgiving and the food bank, turkeys and all the other things. It's a good thing to keep the food bank in mind. But I do know that in January, there's another community, but community event.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that for me, I want the – the girls to get from the program is just kind of a pride in how they play, but also pride in what they do off the court. And so we look at these things like spending time at the food bank and volunteering. And then last year, Coach Ward, his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was the second time. So we had some family, some parents, myself, and players. We talked about what we could do, and so what we ended up having last year was a pink game. So basically, asked everybody to wear pink. The girls had pink shooting shirts and wore pink sweatbands and stuff like that. And then we had a bunch of fundraisers that happened along the way during the game. And it was a really, really special night. It was, I know the team that came, they were really impressed with what was going on. There's a bunch of people from the community that probably hadn't been to a high school event in a long, long time. They came out because they knew what was going on, and we ended up raising $1,400 for celebrate
that's
life.
Terrific.
Yeah, and so our plan is to do the same thing in January. I'm still locking down locking down the dates for the actual game. But you know, our goal is to raise a little bit more than $1,400 and give back. And you know, Coach Ward told the girls when we started, you know, what that meant to his family, because they were recipients of some money from Celebrate Life, and that helped out with their drives to Spokane and stuff like that. So you know, that's a big thing that we wanna instill, is that, hey, you know, you're part of a community. The community supports you in a lot of ways. So what we need to do is give back, and these, you know, these girls are great because they just take on that role and you know, just, I said, hey, you need to, we're going to go to the food bank on this date. And after that, that's all I had to say. They planned everything. They had it all down. They were all in their shooting shirts and stuff like that down there. So
terrific. Yeah. I do want to comment on Dawson when she said yesterday that being released from school, the use of the word released, it's sort of like, how do I want to say it?
Time out for good behavior.
Yeah, time out. You got time out for good behavior. I find that word interesting.
Well, yeah.
Hey, like, you said you weren't going to paint them into a corner. That was what it is. Yeah.
How do you really feel about high school, Dawson?
I do have a question about high school.
I did paint you in a corner. I apologize, my dear.
I was just wondering, what are you guys, your social lives, does it kind of revolve around the basketball team? Are most of your friends on the basketball team, or do you just come together for practice and then kind of go your separate
way? We are all so close on the basketball team. Like, we are all such good friends, and I think that's what helps us play so good together, is that we're comfortable with each other and we trust each other so much on the court. So we know that someone's going to be there for us, or if we miss like a steal, someone will have our backs, or we just have a really good connection. And like outside of practice or outside of the games, that we can hang out, and it's not just like a team thing. Like, we don't just go to practice and we don't really know each other. We make connections outside of that, which I think really helps.
Yeah, during the basketball season, we spend so much time together. So, especially in the locker room, just joking around, and before practice, we're always, you know, spending time together. And, like, through the bad practices and the good practices, we're always there. During the basketball is such a long season, so when all of us are there, you know, we just spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, it's, like I said, you know, they play through three or four major holidays, you know, and it's practice every night if we're not playing a game. And then, you know, in Sandpoint, our bus rides are, you know, they can be up to 3 hours long. So, you know, 3 hours to get there, you know, and 3 hours to come back. So these girls do spend, and then, you know, in June, we play about 15 to 20 games there. We went to Missoula and played in a tournament there. We play at West Valley on Tuesday night. So they spend a lot of time together, and, you know, we talk about the idea of family, you know, and as Maddie brought up, sometimes, you know, a lot of times family's great. Sometimes it's not, but we're here together and, you know, we need to look out for each other. And you're a team. They do a good job on that. So
I want to thank Coach Love from the Sandpoint girls basketball team, and want to thank Maddie and Dawson for taking time out of their busy schedules. And I cannot recommend highly enough to support the young athletes in our community, no matter what the sport. But let me tell you, if you haven't seen girls basketball or women's basketball, get out there, because it's a different game. And it's one that I think goes back to the fundamentals of crisp passing, sharp defense, good picks, pick and rolls, and things like that. And boy, the girls get that down. And I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to some games once I get their schedule. All right. Okay. How about you?
I think so. Jack? I don't think I'm doing anything this Saturday. I might have to drop by.
Notre Dame and DePaul in women's basketball. I got Notre Dame and Syracuse in football. I've got a lot of obligations.
Yeah.
But I will get there.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it, and we appreciate all the support out there in the community. They do a great job of supporting us.
Okay, well, I know in theater, when you wish someone good luck, you say break a leg. Now,
let's not talk about breaks right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. And we have a song now. On this date, I love this, on this date, November 15th, 1965, there was a television program, which only I remember, called Hullabaloo. And the Rolling Stones were on there, and they played this song on this date in November 15th, 1965. That would be the Rolling Stones on this date in 1965. They appeared on Hullabaloo. That has to be one of my favorite Stone songs.
That era of their music those are the best. I think the singles are really good out of that kind of mid period.
That's when Brian Jones was kicking in. But now I want to thank again Coach Love and Maddie and Dawson for coming on the air. I know that we took them away from their duties at Sandpoint High School. Wishing the best of luck this season. We've got some community events to look at, and I'll begin with tonight. And at 9 o'clock right now, after Bird Note and possibly a song, we're going to have a couple people coming in to talk about Thanks a Lot and True Believer, the two one-act plays put on by Unknown Locals and Panada Playhouse Players at the Panada Theater. They kick off the holiday season with these two one-act plays, and they're going to be on this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a matinee on Sunday. And if you want to find out the times and ticket prices, go to panada.org. But we're going to have a couple of the people involved with that at 9 o'clock to talk about the plays.
That sounds, and they're walking around outside the studio right now. They are, it looks like a fine cast to me. Through the glass door. Also coming up this weekend, we have, well, of course, on Saturday, you can go and watch a basketball game down at the gym. Do you remember, what was the name of that gym?
It threw me for a loop because I just thought it was the high school gym.
Yeah. That's coming up this weekend, this Saturday. There's starting at noon, I believe, with the junior varsity teams, and then continuing until the 3 o'clock is when the girls' varsity game will begin, and I don't know how long that'll last, but that'll be a nice way to spend a Saturday afternoon. There is, this evening, a purse party at the Pondere Winery, hosts the CASA, C-A-S-A, purse party. Doors open at 4 p.m. Shop designer handbags just in time for holiday giving. Light bites provided by Fork in the Road Catering. Proceeds benefit CASA. Call 208-660-6707. You already mentioned the upcoming performances at the Panada. We have at the library an important event going on today, Making Sense of Common Core Math at the East Bonner County Library. 1407 Cedar Street, a discussion at 5:30 p.m. this evening for parents, tutors, and educators that will improve understanding of Common Core math and show how to best help students be successful. Abe Wallen, the Regional Math Specialist for North Idaho Regional Math Center, will be presenting it. The program is sponsored by the East Bonner County Library District and is free and open to the public. Call 263-6930 for more information if you want it, but it is at 5:30 this evening.
I would be remiss. I need to backtrack. I meant to do it when you did the weather, but my sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia sent me the weather. This is the weather for Washington, D.C., and they enclosed a photograph. The weather is 31 degrees now, high of 38 expected, lightly snowing, changing to sleet. Now, we'd sit here and go, like, that's nothing. But let me tell you, a light snow changing to sleet in the D.C. area is havoc. Mm-hmm. And this is just a little plug for you can stream us anywhere. You can tell your aunts and uncles, your grandpa and your grandmas all over that. Tune in, and we travel well.
There is going on this weekend a high school mixer tomorrow night at 5 p.m. in the Rotary Teen Lounge at the East Bonner County Library or the Sandpoint Library, 1407 Cedar Street. I wonder if any of our guests from this morning will be attending that mixer. Suppose it depends on practice schedules. It's come enjoy music, gaming, and fun just for 9th through 12th graders from any school or homeschool in the area. ebonnerlibrary.org, or again, call that number 263-6930 if you want more information about the upcoming high school mixer, which is tomorrow night at 5 p.m.
On Friday, there is the Runaway Symphony. The Heartwood Center hosts Runaway Symphony at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6 as part of the 35th season of the Ponderay Arts Council Performance Series. Runaway Symphony's songs unfold like chapters in a novel, weaving an orchestral folk odyssey through rich harmonies, dynamic instrumentation, and vivid storytelling. Presented in partnership with Maddox Farm Productions. Tickets are available in the POAC office, 334 North 1st Avenue. So 7 p.m., doors open at 6 at the Heartwood Center. Runaway Symphony.
They're good, by the way, Runaway Symphony. I think they got together up north in Bonners, and now they are performing out of Moscow, Idaho, but they are well worth your time. Going on, it's almost 9 o'clock,
by the way. It's almost 9 o'clock, and we've got after Bird Note, are we going to have a song or not?
Up to you. We could do Bird Note, and then, do a quick tune. And
plug one in, and then we'll have, I see Becky Revac from the Panada Playhouse Players and another person, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the 2 one-act plays at the Panada Theater this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a matinee on Sunday.
There is a lot more going on in town as well. We might come back and mention a few more items after our interview with those folks. Right now, we'll pause, play a little Bird Note, and then we'll be right back with more of the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.
This is KRFY 88.5 Ponderay.
That would be George, Paul, Ringo, and John with their first number one seller here in the States, not now though over in England. I want to hold your hand. This is Jim. Jack's over there, and we've got a little extension of our morning edition.
We've got Russ Rector and Becky Revac in the studio. Becky, the, I suppose, producer, writer, director?
Yes.
Yeah, all of it. The behind-the-scenes crew for one of the upcoming plays this weekend, and Russ is a player in Becky's play. the two plays are one is called True Believer, and Revex is called Thanks a Lot. And Russ, just so you know, there's volume on those little on that little knob there if you want to adjust your headphones, but because I don't think you've been in here before.
No, I have not.
Okay, well, welcome to the station, guys, and long time no see. The plays start this weekend.
They do.
Tonight.
Yeah. Tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah. Tonight.
Opening night. Tonight.
Oh, tonight. Tonight.
Okay. So I guess you're all ready. Everything's done.
Of course.
Uh-huh. How you feeling, Russ?
I'm feeling great.
That's the kind of enthusiasm we like. Russ is in the play tonight. And Becky, give us an overview of two one-act plays as opposed to one long play. The idea behind it and the purpose behind it.
Well, this purpose behind this one was Chris Heron from Unknown Players and I from the Panada Playhouse Players. We'd been talking for a while and decided we'd like to do something together. And we thought when we started talking about different things, the holiday theme came up. And so when he had already had something in preparation and had a good outline and ready to go, of a thing for Christmas, which happens to be True Believer. I said, oh, great, I will do something for Thanksgiving then, and let's go for this coming, you know, times, this for these holidays.
Cool. So it is a themed production, but you guys have you guys ever worked together before?
No, we just have known each other personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
is there, it's two one-act plays back-to-back, is there overlap in the cast?
No, actually, we talked about if we were going to need it, but we had such a great turnout at auditions this year for when we got together and did auditions together. It was great. Chris said he was amazed at how many people came out for auditions. He'd never had that many come to an audition before. So we had a really good turnout and with a lot of talent. We have, in mine alone, I have two, I only have one actor that I've ever worked with before. I have six cast members, and the other five are, one of them's kind of new to town, and it's been really good. As far as the one act that Jim was talking about, mine's based around Thanksgiving loosely, but it's based around Thanksgiving, and then Chris's very tightly based around Christmas. And so a one-act play truly is, I mean, you know, you still have the beginning, middle, and end to every story, but it's, mine's based around Thanksgiving, his is Christmas, we have an intermission in the middle.
I'd be sort of curious, as a writer, and I know you've written other plays, what are the challenges of a one-act play? I mean, what's different when you write a one-act play as opposed to something that's longer? What's...
Well, a perfect example is one of the actors asked me, well, why would I do this, you know, only like maybe 5 minutes later? I said, because we only have 40 minutes to get the story done.
Ah, so in other words, you cannot rely upon something that happens in one act to appear in another act. In other words, you got to get it all in at once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have, it's basically hopefully a full story compacted into, you know, 45 minutes.
So each play is approximately 45 minutes long?
Yeah, approximately. Yeah.
Now, the audience, are these PG rated, or is this for the entire family, or?
I would say, I have actors that are drinking in it, you know, so if you don't believe in alcohol at all, then you might not want your 12-year-old to come and then ask you questions about what are they doing.
Okay.
So, but, you know, it's definitely adult content as far as what they're getting into, but it's definitely PG-13 at the most. There's no swearing or any of that stuff.
So. Okay.
Where'd the idea come from in the beginning, I guess, is the question.
In the beginning of...
I guess, I don't know. You guys have never worked... You've known each other, but you've never really worked together, and...
Right. Like, well, we were because when Chris has stuff at the Heartwood, we've gone there, and so we were standing there talking to him, and someone goes, "Oh, this is great. I didn't know you guys actually got along. And so somebody was like under the assumption or was making the assumption that because we both, you know, are writers and we're both, you know, trying to get theater in this town, that we had some competition going on. And and so, which was weird. So we just really made sure that Chris, you know, like I said, Chris and I have been friends for years. So it was weird that anybody would even think that. And where would they even pull that from? So we just wanted to make a statement that we're, you know, we are, there's two theater companies in this town, and we want to work together, and we want people to start coming to the theater in town.
Yeah.
So. I'd like to ask Russ, you're in Becky's play. Tell me about your character.
Well, my character is rather unique in the play. I have a tendency to let my mind wander and supposedly say things that are very earth-shattering or should cause one to think more deeply, when in reality the words don't mean all that much.
Is that a fair description, Becky?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Russ, what's your history as a performer in the area?
In the area, I would say that my performances have been mostly during the Lost in the 50s, where I've done lip syncs for about 30 years or better.
Hmm. Okay, so is this your first time on the stage in a play?
Since I was in high school, yes.
Oh my goodness! Wow, just a couple years ago, huh?
It did a little bit back there. Yeah.
Wonderful, Becky. How many people in your play?
I have 6 cast members.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I just really wanted to say is this is one of the greatest, tightest casts that I've worked with. I mean, 32 with Christmas Carol was a lot, so it's hard to be tight that way. But
Was longer than 45 minutes.
Oh yes, yes it was, yeah. So, and then, but the thing, what's really nice about this group is that they're always excited about everything they're going to do. You know, they just are really loving that they're together and they're doing a play. And, you know, they've really been able to bring this script alive, which is really, their timing is good. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those different things that you need for a comedy are there. And it's been really great working with all of them. And so.
Is it, so there's a difference between an act and a scene, right? Like, do you break it up at all, or does it all take place like almost in real time?
It basically takes, of course it takes a lot longer to go up an elevator, in an imaginary elevator.
Yeah.
It doesn't take any time at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But it's all like you start the play and it more or less ends what would be 45 minutes later in real life, I guess.
Yeah. We actually have a little light in and out, to emulate that everybody went to bed at some point and got up in the morning. Mm-hmm. So that's, and then actually in True Believer, same thing happens. There's they have a light go out that everybody goes to sleep and then they get up in the morning. So we both actually ended up having a one day break. So no, not 45 minutes, but maybe 45 minutes if you didn't count the time you slept.
Yeah.
So is Thanks-a-Lot the first play?
Yeah, the Thanksgiving Thanks-a-Lot.
Okay, and then True Believer is the Christmas one. Now, this is, again, remind listeners, the 15th, 16th, and 17th, that is tonight, Friday night, and Saturday night at 7:30 at the Panda Theater, and a matinee on Sunday at 3:30.
That's right. Yeah, and you can still get those tickets at Eve's Leaves or Panada.org online. And then, obviously, at the door also we'll have tickets. And they're $10 for seniors and students and $14 for everybody else.
How do you feel? I was going to ask Russ. How do you feel about this? Is just like boom, 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 and you don't get like a week in between when you play two weekends. There's got to be a learning curve. Like tonight's going to be a real learning curve for not only you but the other cast members, isn't it?
Well, we've all got pretty well prepared in our parts, so I think we're just looking to do a good performance, and I think we're all pretty excited to make people laugh.
Okay, so they're both comedies?
Both comedies.
Both comedies. So in other words, nothing major from a Thursday night to a Friday night. Maybe fine-tune a little bit here, a little bit there, but pretty much. Where are you going to be, Becky?
I'll probably be up in the booth working with the music part of it.
Ah, so are there songs?
No, not. I just, you know, your intro music and your in the middle stuff that has to have a little bit of a oomph to it, and you know, so that kind of stuff.
When did rehearsal start?
Oh man, when did we start? September, October? No, September. Yeah, we in September. I think we had our auditions in August, and then
And did you have, so I guess dress rehearsal was like last night
last
or something
night,
like that?
Yep. Yeah.
How'd it go? What's Russ's?
Pretty well.
Yeah.
How was your dress, Russ?
Well, it was good.
Wonderful. It's so good to have both of you here with us. This is a chance to support live theater in North Idaho. And you have many opportunities for tonight, Friday night, Saturday night, 7:30s. Doors open at
7.
7. And then the matinee at 3:30 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Anything in closing, Becky, you or Russ want to say about the plays?
Do you want to say anything else?
I just want everyone to come and have a good time. And I'm sure that everyone in the plays is going to have a good time. So come join us.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. And I just thank you guys for having us on this morning. And like you said, you know, we're trying to work really hard to bring live theater back to Sandpoint, and we can't do that without an audience.
Absolutely.
What's next? Are you already thinking about what comes next for plays? Any auditions coming up or anything like that?
We do have auditions coming up. I can't tell you the date yet, but it's going to be probably within a couple weeks after we finish this play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll, I guess, keep our eyes open.
And we'll give you the info on that.
Cool. Keep us in mind.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We want to say to Russ, break a leg.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And what do we say to the writer of the play? A trip on the cords or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
That's right.
I'm not sure about that one.
Break a pencil?
Yeah. Sharpen the pencil or something. That's tonight at the Panada Theater, 2 one-act plays running through the weekend. You can go to panada.org to find out about ticket information, where to pick them up, and 7:30 Thursday through Saturday and 3:30 on Sunday. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
You bet. Thank you so much.
You bet. Our pleasure.
All right.
We're done. There was a few more events we might want to mention coming up for the
weekend.
People
can go to Sandpoint online and find out about the information.
It's the holidays.
It's the holidays, particularly about the two one-act plays at the Panada. And we will not be with you. Jim and Jack will not be with you. We'll be stuffing ourselves with turkey on the 22nd, and then we'll be back on the 29th with, I do believe, Dino Wall and the festival at Sandpoint, because the early ticket sales will be ending right about then. And she promised us a list of acts that they almost signed. Almost signed.
So it'll be a good process of elimination kind of thing.
Last time she was on the air, she said they already have booked two acts for next season.
Let's see. Coming up next, we're going to just continue with Otto's Eclectic Mix.
What's up? What's up?
How about one from the festival a couple of years ago, Pink Martini?
Perfect.
And then it's going to be Otto's Eclectic Mix, the usual mix of random music that you hear on this radio station all day long. Thank you for tuning in to an extra long morning show with Jim and Jack, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. And that does not mean, by the way, the Tuesday, Wednesday shows won't be here. They will be, so tune in next week as well on Tuesday and Wednesday for the morning show. And that's it. Here's Pink Martini on 88.5 KRFY.